Hello, everyone, and I'd like to welcome you to our service for Tuesday of Holy Week. We're going to be thinking today about some seekers who wanted to see Jesus. And it's my belief that this is a time when many in our world are searching for answers. And I believe that this week we are in front of the one who offers that hope and those answers even in our suffering and our struggle. The hymn that I have chosen for today's service is Lift High the Cross. And if you have the opportunity to have a listen to that hymn via the internet, maybe on a computer or on a phone, it would be really good if you had the chance to do that as we worship God together through this service. Our Bible reading today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless an ear of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Here ends our Bible reading. And may I speak to you today in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. During this Holy Week, as we continue to reflect on those events and individuals who played a part in Jesus' last week of his earthly life, we're conscious also at this time of many who are themselves travelling a painful road of enormous suffering and distress. Our thoughts and prayers continue to be with those who are seriously ill with coronavirus, and with those frontline medical staff and medical officers making desperately difficult and painful decisions as they try to stem the spread of this pandemic and look after staff and other people who are battling this illness. In the enormity of the current crisis, we could maybe forget that there are others too listening to this service who are perhaps today living with the pain of bereavement and loss. There are others who are suffering with serious health conditions and issues. And as we journey with Jesus towards the cross, we're conscious of his desire to walk alongside all who suffer as one who has walked that road before us. Sometimes when we anticipate an event or even meeting a person, the reality can be very different to what we imagine that it would be. And we get a sense of this today in John's Gospel as we get closer to these events of the end of Jesus' life on earth. And we read in today's account of this very striking experience for some Greek seekers who are absolutely longing to see and to meet Jesus. They've heard about him, and word indeed spread rapidly about Jesus after he raised Lazarus from the dead. And so they came forward with this very touching and very simple request to Philip. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." And as we hear about Jesus and we read about him, I wonder, is this not a request or a cry that might be at the heart of all of us in these troubled times? We too would like to see Jesus. And perhaps we've ideas of what he will be like. According to most of the artists' impressions that I've ever seen, Jesus will be white, he'll be handsome, he'll be bearded, and he'll be strong. And I guess that that's how most of us would like our leaders to be: strong, powerful, in control. And so it's quite a shock then to the system as Jesus speaks to this group about the mystery of the spiritual life, as instead of boasting about all the territories he's going to conquer, he predicts his own death. And maybe this is the point where many of us would rather part company with Jesus. And maybe we're not so keen to see him anymore. Like the Greeks, we would like to see Jesus, but as we do see him and hear him in this passage, maybe we made a mistake. Isn't Jesus supposed to be the powerful one and the one who brings new life? Isn't he the healer and the one who drives out demons and raises the dead? Well, he is all of these things. But as he outlines how they're to be accomplished, it's not actually so easy to stay with him. Many people are surprised and they're even offended that the death of Jesus is so central and so important to Christianity. This visit of the Greeks provided an occasion for Jesus himself to tell us how central his death is, in order that all of us who come after him, and that includes you and me, may find life. And we are indeed, I believe, on very holy ground here today, as Jesus very gently brings us with these Greek seekers in John's Gospel to the mystery that's at the very heart of our faith. You see, for Jesus, the the way of life is through death. And the moment when he will be most honored will not be when hundreds and thousands of Jews and Gentiles flock to see him and hear him, but rather when, like a grain of wheat, he dies as a prelude to rising again and giving life to many. Jesus is concerned that those who seek to follow him should understand the nature of his mission and the cost involved in discipleship, which is why he sets things out in this way for these seekers. And as we hear Jesus saying these hard things to us today, we can also see that it wasn't easy for him to put forward the upside-down values of his kingdom. Indeed, in his humanity, we see Jesus balking at the prospect of his own physical suffering and death. In verse 27, he speaks very powerfully of how his own heart is troubled. But what is of the utmost importance to Jesus is following the will of God, bringing God glory, making it possible for every person who comes after him to find this forgiveness and healing and relationship with God that we all crave for through his death for our sins. So I wonder, what does dying to self mean for us today? I find Jesus' words to us really poignant and very vivid as we currently face this pandemic, which poses such a threat to our mortality in these days. And in all the struggles that we're facing, and everybody is facing struggles every day, there are these continuously heroic acts of selflessness going on day by day as people care for each other, as they risk their own health to provide essential services and care. But we do have to be very clear about this, that there is an urgency at the present time in asking this question: how can we get right with God? How can we correct our priorities so that they are in line with God's priorities? In our stubborn longing for independence, everything within us screams out that this is not how it ought to be. And we might all, as we're listening to this today, long for things to be just as they were before, and we do not know how long our current restrictions will be in place. But what might prompt us to move towards Jesus and to surrender our lives to him? What might prompt us to move towards Jesus and surrender our lives to him, even if we are afraid to take that step? Well, I want to suggest probably the most helpful thing for all of us is to remember in the first instance just how much he loves you. Remember how much he longs for you and me to come back to him, so that whatever these coming months might bring to us, we can be assured of his peace and the joy of eternal life with him, even after our own earthly journey is over. And the most striking proof that I can think of what I'm telling you, is when you see Jesus stretched out on that cross for you and for me, even when we had turned our lives away from him. Put your trust in the light, says Jesus, when you still have the light, so that you may become sons and daughters of light. My friends, that's a wonderful call to each one of us if we open our hearts this evening, that we can become sons and daughters of light. It is a challenging call, though, and if we genuinely want to see and to know Jesus, it's important that we remember the one who calls us into the light has been there and promises to accompany us, as we need to very humbly acknowledge our need of him. We need to very humbly open our hearts and simply invite him in to journey with us. Is that something you feel you could and ought to do today? If so, maybe you'd bow your head as we pray to him this evening. Lord, we recognize our absolute need for you. We want to say sorry for those times when we have neglected you and put you to one side in our lives. Open our hearts to you today. We invite you to come in and to dwell with us through your Holy Spirit and to fill us with your presence and your peace as we commit our lives from this point on to you. Please come in and dwell within us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And the response in the rest of our prayers today to Lord in your mercy is, hear our prayer. So, Lord, we come to you today with the same desire in our hearts as those Greek seekers. We would like to see Jesus. Help us to seek you with our whole heart. And we ask that you would come in and dwell within us through your Holy Spirit forever. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray today for all of us who have been too busy to seek for you in all the demands of our work, our families, and our pursuit of particular goals and projects. In a time of enforced restrictions on movement and the closure of many workplaces, we pray, Lord, that many would seek and find your presence and your peace in these anxious days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We want to pray for all church events and services happening online this week, right across the denominations. We pray for perseverance with technology and for ways that those who do not have all the equipment might hear and receive the good news of your love for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We continue to pray for all who are working in hospitals, testing centers, pharmacies, and shops, those who are transporting goods and offering care in the community and nursing homes to vulnerable people. We pray too for the children of key workers still at school, and we pray for their teachers and their parents in all the stress and anxiety of their daily lives at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we want to just take a couple of quiet moments to pray for family and friends that we cannot see at present because of the current restrictions. We pray that they would be strengthened by your presence wherever they are. And we remember especially all who are in isolation at the present time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join all our prayers together in the words that our Saviour Christ taught us to pray as we pray together, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so may Christ draw you to himself, and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to sharing another message about this last week of Jesus' life with you tomorrow. Bye-bye. Thank you.